Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network and the Keystone Sports app. I'm Jim Galante, sitting in for Andrew P. Shea today. Across the table from me is the aforementioned Andrew P. Shea, filling the shoes of both Ross Tucker and Bobby Flounders.
No problem.
No problem. Easy to do.
Hey, it's been you and me all week, Keystone Sports Network fans. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. It's been the Jimmy and Andy show, but I think we provide a lot of detail. We sprinkled in some Greg Pickle and our good friend Todd Sadowski from Fox 43 earlier in the week. They were in Chicago. Big Ten media days are behind us. Ross is on assignment. Bob Flounders is still on his way, making his way back from Chicago. He was there as well. So it's me and you. We got a ton to talk about. Penn State football. I'm pumped up. Let's do it.
Good
deal.
One more time. So I'm really having a lot of fun doing this, Andy. And as you said, we got another great hour of Penn State talk today in quarter number one, like we normally do. We're going to go over the news and notes.
Easy.
Quarter two. This one should be interesting. Instead of Tucker's tape, it's going to be Andy's tape, brought to you by GoPSURV.com. And what we're going to do, a dive into the quarterback position.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about under James Franklin in the quarterback position. That is something that I think Penn State fans should get used to but have not been used to, that I'd like to talk about.
And it's going to be more than just, gee, there's a really good quarterback.
Yeah,
there.
It's all about Trace McSorley, but it has nothing to do with Trace McSorley.
Exactly. Then, quarter number three, where you're used to hearing Ask Ross, brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club, it's going to be Ask Andy, brought to you by 409 Tailgate Club. And then finally, second in our two-part series, where we're going to look at questions we have for the upcoming season. Last week, we looked at the defense. This week, Andy, you and I are going to look at the offense and what questions we have going into the season. So that should be a lot of fun.
That'll be a good one as well.
But we start with quarter number one and the news. Most of this is still a lot of the news that came out from the Big Ten Media Day. James Franklin talked. Not only did he have his Big Ten Media press conference, he talked to a lot of outlets. A lot of interesting things he brought up. And for us, I believe the candor that we saw, things that we knew, but it was interesting to hear the coach talk about the issues at defensive tackle and middle linebacker.
Right.
James was not afraid to bring those up.
Right. And he brought up his weaknesses, but he also, there's a third level to that. They graduated everybody or lost everybody to the NFL in the secondary as well. But he did not identify the secondary as one of the concerns that he has. So that's the two-sided clarity that I like from James Franklin now. As I said earlier in the week, he's a little more comfortable and a little more of a statesman. He's like, yeah, no, I'm concerned about these things. And this is another element of our defense that I know is going to be a bunch of new faces in new places, but I'm not necessarily as concerned about that overall as I am defensive tackle and linebacker. So that should be a good thing, Penn State fans, that you're like, oh no, what's going to happen to D tackle and linebacker? I think it's a good thing that James is concerned about it. But I also think it's a very good thing that when you look at the secondary, and not that I need to agree with James to be validated, but I agree with him. Like, there is a wealth of riches at the secondary positions that I don't think they have many concerns there other than experience. But in terms of depth and experience and overall Q factor, in other words, overt talent that you know how it's going to produce, I think defensive tackle and linebacker are the two spots that he identified, and they are 100% correct.
What struck me about the candor was, I think we've gotten so used to the misdirection from coaches, where there's a weakness that you call it a strength, where there's a strength, you say, well, maybe not so much. We finally reached the point after a few years of James Franklin to listen to him, and he is being candid. Now, what was interesting to me was, when he talked middle linebacker, he brought up four names.
He did.
Two veterans, and two youngsters.
Correct. I think he's found the guy going into camp that they're going to look at first and hardest and view and with the most scrutiny and look at him in a different light than the other ones. And that is former walk-on Jan Johnson. I don't know. Is he under scholarship any now? I'm not sure. I don't know 100%. But he is a former walk-on from Governor Mifflin High School. He was an outstanding football player there. He was an outstanding state caliber wrestler. James identified him as the smartest guy on the team. And the middle linebacker position, when you're replacing a 2/3-year starter like Jason Kambinda, who was the guy that got everybody lined up properly, you can't lose all of that element. So for what they might give up physically a little bit, I don't think athletically he's necessarily challenged all that much in terms of the position. I think athletically he can play it, but if he's smarter than everybody else, not his teammates, but smarter football-wise than the guys he's going against, that will make up for it. And Ross called it 2-3 months ago. Remember, he's like, I think Jan Johnson's the guy they have to really look at for middle linebacker. And after Ross's view on Brandon Smith, I'm not arguing with my man Ross. He's the boss. But I think they found their middle linebacker that they want to win the position in camp, and that's Jan Johnson.
And you believe, reading the tea leaves, you see Jan Johnson as the first man up.
The first man up in middle linebacker. I really do. I think it, unless something goes sideways during fall camp and in August, I don't see him not being on the field when they start against Appalachian State. I think he's the man in the middle to start it out. And I also think that's better because it allows Micah Parsons to be a little bit more of a freewheeler in terms of where they put him and what his responsibilities are. In other words, you're playing more to his strengths. If you put him at middle linebacker and he's got to play there 8, 9, 12, 13 plays a game in some kind of rotation, that puts him in a box. He can perform in a box, but you want Micah Parsons playing in a couple different places and playing outside the box.
And if you have the real athletic guys on the outside, Johnson.
I still think Ellis Brooks is a candidate in the middle. I really do. But I think it's Jan Johnson is the first man up.
The next topic, Andy, that came up quite a bit, and probably in every conference's media day, is with the new national gambling element coming around, there was the suggestion of coming out with an injury report. That's not something Coach Franklin is crazy about, is it?
Let's just say James and injuries have, I mean, we joke about it now after 4 or 5, 4 years of it, but he ain't talking about it. If he's forced to talk about it, he don't want to talk about it. He doesn't want to reveal it. I don't think it's a gamesmanship thing with him. I think it's a personal preference of the way he structures how he runs a team. I don't think he lets, like, okay, the players know that a guy's banged up, but I don't think he necessarily wants his team to know what he's thinking in terms of who he's going to put on the field and injuries and what it's going to do to the team. I know they can tell by the way they practice. I just don't think he wants to address it at any level inside. I mean, he's going to talk about it with the doctors, but he says, hey, if you've listened to him, he'll say, hey, that's a medical decision. I have nothing to do with that. He continues to march on as if the medical decision is going to be positive until he's told he's not going to play. You know what I mean? So he really distanced himself from medical and injuries on so many levels. And I think he's truthful when he says, I don't delve in medical decisions. I just do what they tell me at the end of the day. And I think he's very much against having to speak of an ankle sprain or a sore shoulder that's make a guy a possibility. But it's the reality and the dark side of legalized gambling in college football that's going to be upon us very, very soon. That's part of the gambler's. That's part of the dark side of what you have to deal with.
And realizing for James, occasionally an injury topic could be a sensitive one you don't want to deal with. Sometimes you don't mind. It's easier just to make a blanket rule. Injuries, I'm not going to talk about it.
At all.
But with the gambling issue right now, we were talking about this a bit off the air. What if in this scenario, going into the Ohio State game, Trace has a bit of a bum ankle going. He's going to play. You certainly don't want to make that public. But a gambler would sure want to know that information and possibly pay for it. You've got 100 football players practicing who are aware of this. A lot of temptation there, isn't there, for unpaid players?
Look, an injury to a guy like Trace affects the line. It affects the money. I mean, it's a very fine line, you know, when it comes to sports gambling, college football, the money. It's a very fine line to walk. I don't know, you know, with the amateurism part of it, I don't know how the NCAA and college football, they're going to be walking a little bit blind because it's a very fine line to walk. I don't know how they do it. I mean, the NFL, it's cut and dry. It's pretty crystal clear.
I've heard some national media folks talk, oh, this makes them more like the NFL, more like professional. You want to stay away from that. That's not the issue for me. The issue is the temptation that is created for a lot of players, and we all know historically, gambling and college football,
they don't go together
No, they don't.
And it's even more tempting, not that the players make the decision to try and hide or play through an injury or, you know, not reveal all the symptoms that can't be seen, but you don't tell them exactly what's going on. We don't want any of that. They're going to do that inherently. But in terms of when you bring gambling in the equation, it just opens up another can of worms. I don't have a problem with the gambling. I just, the injury report thing to me is such a, it's such a dicey proposition. I don't know how I feel about it. It's such a fine line.
It is. It'll be interesting to see how they deal with it. The one last topic in the minute we have left here, sure, Andy, that kept coming up. Last 2 years, Big Ten champion didn't make the college football playoffs. We all know about expanding the playoffs. My take is the Big Ten, they self-inflicted some of these wounds.
Look, the Big Ten has a problem. I think Jim Delaney knows it. If your conference champion is not making it to the college football playoff as one of the Power Five conferences with arguably the single deepest and strongest division in all of college football, which is the Big Ten East, you have a problem. In other words, you've inherently set up, and I understand geography, East and West. I understand that was the preference. But you have a problem because you have your self-inflicted wound is the best way to put it, Jim. Your best are eating their own by playing each other. It's awesome football, but the collateral damage and the opportunity cost is there is a serious chance. And 2018 is another perfect opportunity. Your champion of your conference might not be in the college football playoffs.
It wasn't just geography. It was putting Michigan and Ohio State in the same division. And we all know that.
We do.
That's important.
You're
that's
correct.
The most important thing. Anyway, that's enough time. That's it for time on quarter number one. Stay tuned for quarter number two with Andy's tape.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.